They say for every church in Rome, there's a bank in Milan. Visitors to Italy's high-powered center of commerce find that Milan is also rich with fashion and design, masterpieces of art and opera, and it's the industrious heart of today's Italy. For an appreciation of what Milan has to offer, we're joined by two tour guides based in Italy. Donald White lives about an hour away in the scenic Lake District near the Swiss border, and Alfredo Vitale is from Naples in the south. Gentlemen, benvenuti.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Alfredo, you're from Napoli.
Yes,
I am. That's sort of the opposite extreme of Milano. From your perspective in the south of Italy, looking up at the business capital in the north, what do Neapolitans think about Milano?
Well, it's been really a very controversial, you know, relationship going through the years. But for us Neapolitans, especially when I was young, when I was in my end of teenage years, I was actually looking, like many other friends, to Milan as the only city in Italy where you could have an European perspective. And especially if you were a creative person, you would look to Milan as the city, like a reference city for you.
It's the city of design.
Yeah, actually, a couple of my friends went there to work into the fashion industry. Some people went there to the university, both for engineering and for MBA. We have the best MBA school in Milan called Bocconi.
And if something is going to fit in with the hardworking German style of economy and everything in Italy, it's going to be Milano.
Definitely. And also is one of the most cosmopolitan cities we have in Italy.
All right. Thank you. And Don White, Donato. Do your friends call you Donato?
Don in Italy is dangerous. It makes you either a priest or a mafioso. So,
so you
just stick to Donald.
What's your story? You've settled in Lake Como, just the kind of the beautiful romantic lake, just an hour north of Milano. You're not Italian.
No, but I moved to Italy first. I lived in Milan for 3 years, 1989 to 1992, and I was teaching there in Milan. And then I moved out to Lake Como.
But you hop on that train, and in 1 hour, you're in the big city.
1 hour, yes.
So from your perspective, what characterizes Milano among Italian cities?
It's different from other cities. It's more down to earth. In some ways, it is very much work-oriented. They have a different mentality, and it is more Germanic. And although I never learned Milanese dialect, my friends taught me one phrase, which is "Var più se un'anda che cent'andem."
And what is that?
It means it's better for one person to actually get up and go than for 100 people to say, "Let's go, let's go."
That's a nice phrase to remind people when you're in Italy. Because when I cross the border in Italy, the first thing I think is il dolce far niente.
Exactly.
And what does that mean?
That means the sweetness of doing nothing. And that's also possible in Milan.
Yeah.
But once you've done your work, once you get the aperitivo time.
Because when you're in Milan, it feels like people have this brisk step. There's power lunches.
It is a business city.
It's a business city. In fact, they say, as I mentioned in the introduction, there's a bank in Milan for every church in Rome. That sums it up quite nicely.
Yeah.
There's a rivalry between Rome and Milano. What's with that?
Well, they say also, I remember they told me when I was working there, Milan works so that Rome eats.
Milan works so Rome eats.
Mm.
Well, Alfredo, you're down in Napoli, where,
yes.
I mean, everything is just, let's live for today in Napoli more than in Milano. What do you think? Do you think they're out of balance or do they think you're out of balance?
You know, there is a very good exchange because actually they love coming to Napoli on vacation, the Milanese people. We have many of them coming down and they love actually coming to Napoli because they just love that atmosphere that normally they don't have in their cities.
Right.
And it's the same for us. I mean, I will not say I go to Milan because it's the most beautiful city in Italy. We have so many beautiful cities. The climate is not the best.
Oh my goodness, it's such a beautiful climate, but you're spoiled, so you want better climate yet. You'd go farther south?
No, it's just particular to Milan because it sits in a fog pit.
With millions of people.
That's why they all leave on the weekend to go to the mountains, to go to the sea and get out of the fog.
So, Alfredo, when you go to Milano, what would be on your list of things to do?
Well, there are a few things because it's not a beautiful city, but there are some beautiful areas. There is some beautiful, you know, little places. Like if you go for a walk in Via Mozart, which is an amazing legal street, really central, with beautiful houses and gardens where you can see amazing
pedestrian streets.
Pedestrian street, Brera area is so nice.
Well, what's the big one that goes up to Forteza? Via del Via Cavour.
Via Cavour.
Yeah, yeah.
Via Cavour. It used to be a traffic jam, and now it's a park.
I know. They're improving a lot on that point of view. When you are in Brera, you are in a very, you know, artisty and mm-hmm. beautiful area for cafes. And it used to be the area of the famous bars for the aperitivo, like the Jamaica, which used mm-hmm. to be a very famous one.
And then you can go out to the canal district also. That's quite trendy.
Yeah, actually, that's another beautiful area, the area of the Navigli, with some very good restaurants. My favorite restaurant in Milan is in that area.
In the Navigli.
Which one?
And it's called Pont de Fer, Bridge of Iron, the Iron Bridge.
The Iron Bridge.
And Pont it's very good, very, very good.
This is
like Berlin.
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 No, Berlin.
Berlin. Berlin. That's
yes.
a restaurant.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And how do you say this district, the canal district?
Navigli.
Navigli.
Navigli. A reminder that Milan, while it's buried way in the middle of the country, has canals, and it used to have a small port anyways.
They used to say that they had more canals in Milan than in Venice before Mussolini covered them all over.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
And that the water is still there. And that's why it's so humid in the summer, because the water underneath the street is still there, and we have so many mosquitoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know,
an amazing number of mosquitoes.
When you look at the Duomo, the magnificent cathedral, this flamboyant, so many spires, so many statues, the sort of final over-the-top flowering of the Gothic movement before the more stately Renaissance domes. You wonder, how did they get all that marble there? And they actually had a canal where mm-hmm.
It came from Lago Maggiore when it was brought down.
A quarry nearby. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Don White and Alfredo Vitale. We're talking about Milano. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Lynn's calling from Kew Gardens in New York. Lynn, have you been to Milano?
I've been to Milano so many times, I can't count because I go for work. And I've been very, very lucky to go there. But my favorite thing is the aperitivo time. Mm. And you can go super sophisticated to the Bulgari Hotel or the Dolce Gabbana Cafe and have these lovely, lovely appetizers with a drink. But the best part there is seeing the crowd come in after 7. So go a little bit before 7, get your seat, and just watch the Milanese come in their beautiful outfits. It's amazing. And then, since you mentioned the Duomo, you can go to the Rinascente department store on the top floor and overlook the Duomo at the very top. You can almost touch all the sculptures, and it's marvelous for that kind of viewing.
There's a whole series of department stores with open-air terrace kind of restaurants up at the roof level of the cathedral, isn't there?
Oh, yes, there are a few. Over right across on the other side of the Duomo, there is another one that's very good.
Well, it's just,
I can't remember the name of that one.
But it's so user-friendly, and just it's a celebration of the architecture and the history and the food of Milano. Tell me, Lynn, a little more about the aperitivo, because I understand it's you buy a drink and you get a little buffet of delightful little things to eat. What might you eat?
Well, at Dolce Gabbana and Bulgari, they give you the more sophisticated fare. There is mozzarella bars and carrot sticks or whatever. They've changed it throughout the years and got a little bit more sparse. Mm. Barbasso, which is a very traditional place that the Milanese really go to also.
I used to live just above Barbasso.
You did?
Yeah.
So, Don, when you think about the aperitivo, Don,
in terms of apericena, where it becomes dinner.
Uh-huh.
And that's why a lot of people after work go there, because they've had a hard day. They probably have a big lunch, and then they just have their apericena on the way home.
So the tradition is aperitivo, but the nickname for going there and scamming a free dinner out of the cost
aperitivo.
Of a cocktail is a cena is the word for dinner. So
yes,
aperitivo.
Exactly.
And really, you can buy a drink or a cocktail for less than $10, and dinner
comes with it.
Dinner, if you like the...
Yeah, and in Italy, actually, Milan was really the city to start this aperitivo tradition.
Yeah.
This is why we refer to Milan also. Actually, there was a saying, I'm not sure it was very positive to call Milan la città da bere, Milano da bere.
What is bere?
To drink.
To drink, the beer. City to drink.
Hey, Lynn, thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Thank
okay,
you.
Take care.
Il treno regionale veloce delle ore 11:13 per Torino Porta Nuova è in partenza dal binario 7.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Milan, and our guides are Don White and Alfredo Vitale. You know, a lot of people go to Milan to see Leonardo's Last Supper, magnificent piece of art. Don, what is the trick for seeing the Last Supper smartly?
You have to get a reservation.
It's required.
It is. Or you have to spend a lot of money just buying it from a tour company. It's going to charge you extra, but we'll get you in.
So just go online and book your time.
But if you know when you're going to be there,
right,
get your reservation. It's smart.
And then it's so orderly and civilized.
It is.
There's no crowds there because, you know, 25 people show up every 15 minutes.
Well, you see, and that's Rick, I go back to the days when you could just wander in any time when I lived there. It was like that, and it's not like that now. But not only from the crowding point of view, but because they want to protect. It's a very delicate painting,
mm-hmm.
so you have to come into this kind of detoxification
exactly.
chamber before
right.
you get
so you,
to...
So you that dry they never, out a little bit.
Well, no. So that, yeah, exactly, because there's too much humidity coming
yeah.
in. And even in Leonardo's time, the paint was coming off the wall and in there. So it's a painting which suffered a lot,
mm-hmm.
and so you can respect why they have to control this.
And apart from Leonardo's Last Supper, Alfredo, there's other important sites to see. What are two or three other sites we'd want to be sure to check out when we go to
Well,
Milan?
Definitely you want to see the Duomo. I mean, it's such an amazing cathedral and unique
and you can go to the rooftop,
style.
Too.
You can visit inside, go to the rooftop. And as we were mentioning before, also there is a way to go to the opposite side, which is the Rinascente department store, and go to the top floor. And from there, you have even a better view
yeah.
on the roof.
Without because you can just go up there free on the elevator and walk
yeah,
out.
Yeah, and then there is cafes if you want. You can get a drink also at the same time. It's very
important.
Nice.
The cathedral was filled with great art, and now most of that art is actually in the museum just across the way, and they've reopened that museum, and it's magnificent.
Yeah, Museo del Duomo, and there is also actually in terms of museums, not only that one, but actually Milan is very, very interesting. For example, Brera. In Brera, you see many beautiful
Brera.
Yeah, Brera, which is not only a museum, but it's a neighborhood, which is very interesting
yeah.
because it is the artist's neighborhood
and
of
you'll
Milan.
See the greatest masters in Europe. If you can think of the most famous painters, they probably have a painting or two in the Brera.
Oh, actually, in Brera, they have Titian, they have Raphael, they have Da Vinci also.
Uh-huh.
They have the portrait of a musician there.
Isn't it it's associated with a school or an art school? Or is that
Brera is the art school.
It's
the main art school of Lombardia. It's one of the main art schools in Italy. And so the artists. This is why it's an artist neighborhood.
And then, of course, right off of the square from the Duomo, you've got the Gallery Victor Emmanuel. And this is just the first modern shopping mall from, 120 years ago?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's absolutely worth walking into. It's worth stopping off for your aperitivo there because Campari was invented.
Right there.
The Campari family had the bar just as you go in on the left. And so it's a classic place for a drink and also a classic place once you've been to the opera, you're going to come out and you're going to go to Savini for dinner.
Yeah. So we're talking about these elegant people. They're going to tumble out of that opera house all dressed up and have their Campari.
Yeah, La Scala is just across from there. I mean, you know, when you exit the Galleria from the opposite side, where then Duomo Square, you get just in front of La Scala is right there, which is so amazing. I love going there. I'm from Napoli.
I wish people could see your face right now, the way you brighten up and smile.
I'm from Napoli, and I have one of the most beautiful theaters in my city, which is San Carlo, which is considered the most beautiful in Europe, actually. But the productions that they have at La Scala are so beautiful, interesting, powerful, that every year at least once I take the time to go there.
So much to see. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking Milano with Don White and Alfredo Vitali. We're talking about the historic and the artistic wonders. There's also a new neighborhood. Don, talk about the new port.
Well, this was the Porta Nuova.
Yeah.
It's an area which is skyscrapers, if you like, but very, very distinctive skyscrapers. We've got the vertical forest up beyond the Porta Nuova.
The vertical forest, meaning like a high-rise condominium building with just bushy with trees.
With so many trees, it's very good.
Yeah, Tito Boeri building.
Yes.
Tito Boeri is a famous architect.
Imagine if all of our skyscrapers were bushy with trees.
I saw it the first time from the train, and I was just amazed, like, how did they grow these trees all overnight?
But this is one of those sites. I thought I knew Milan. You know, I update it for my guidebook. Every couple of years I go there. And then all of a sudden, Porta Nuova. It's the new port. And it's just this forest of skyscrapers, very futuristic, very people-friendly. And a good example about how
there is another,
cities are a work in progress.
There is another new thing in Milan which people should visit. And this is Fondazione Prada.
The Prado?
Prada.
Prada.
Prada. You know the fashion.
The foundation of Prada.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is that?
And it's an art, contemporary art museum, which is not far from Porta Romana. And it's actually a very new area with beautiful, beautiful contemporary art.
Nice.
And also happening, some of the fashion week takes place there. There is this interconnection in Milan, you know, in
so
between
much.
Worlds.
So much.
Yeah.
You stand on the main square of the Duomo, and on top of the Duomo, you see this golden statue, beloved by the Milanese.
La Madonnina.
Oh, la Madonnina.
How can you not say
the Virgin
that?
Mary.
Yeah.
The little Madonna.
Exactly.
Madonnina. It's little when she's probably big, but on top of that big church, she looks little.
Little, but it's not.
But I'm in the mood for a drink and actually a little shopping. I'm not always in the mood for shopping, but in Milano, I like to go shopping. Don, take a shopping and let's get a drink on the way to Monte Napoleone.
Monte Napoleone is the heart of the fashion business. There's a wonderful cafe, very old-fashioned, it's very atmospheric, called Cova.
Uh-huh.
So I would start off there maybe for a cappuccino or to go for a drink, a prosecco, and then a little aperitivo. And then probably I'm going window shopping because it depends on your budget, but it's going to be a little bit expensive. But you definitely want to walk down Monte Napoleone, the Via Sant'Andrea, and Via della Spiga. And these are the three streets which make up the main fashion business.
What shops might we see there?
Oh, everybody.
Every famous
name. I mean, Armani, Prada, Versace.
Name it, they are there.
And Alfredo, you'll be walking, shopping. Take me walking for a block. And not only do you see the windows, but you see the people.
Oh, yeah, that's actually the best way to get Milan atmosphere, especially during the fashion week there, but not only. Even during a normal, weekend, you can see amazing Milanese ladies, walking around and shopping their shopping bag. Sometimes they have somebody carrying the shopping bag from them. Because, that's very chic. And somebody else carrying their dogs, because that's also chic.
Carrying their dogs. And even cigarettes are chic.
They have a word for the ladies, the rich ladies that do that kind of shopping in Milano. They're called the Shura.
What is that?
The Shura. It's a Milanese word for signora. But when you say Shura, you mean an upper class lady.
A lady really well dressed with somebody carrying her dog.
Exactly. That's a Shura.
For sure. Don White, Alfredo Vitale, mille grazie for a better understanding of beautiful Milano. Everybody goes to Rome, Venice, and Florence.
Yeah.
Don't forget Milano.
Go to Milan.
Milan is where it's at.
All right.
Grazie. Thank you, Rick. Grazie. Ciao. Alla presto. Ciao.
We can travel in our imaginations with the original haiku poems our listeners send us from time to time at ricksteves.com/radio. Here's a few we thought you might like.
Stacy Bukowskis from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, sent us a few haiku snapshots from her travels, which often seem to include an inviting beach. Adventure beckons. Umbrella rainbow. Sparkling waves. Warm sand. Cold beer. Sandra Van Dam Anderson of Tucson wrote this haiku about Fanning Island in the middle of the Pacific in Kiribati. Heavenly footprint, coral reef, turquoise lagoon, baskets, shark teeth, shells. And this one about Bora Bora. Sapphire, indigo, lapis, turquoise, cobalt blue. Water is heaven.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton, Kaz Murrah-Hall, and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. Website uploads are by Andrew Wakeling and Sherry Court. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. When you're on a road trip, you can listen to Travel with Rick Steves on one of more than 500 other radio stations. You'll find a list of where and when at ricksteves.com/radio. And we'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.